This episode is brought to you by Four Sigmatic, a wellness company that is well known for its delicious mushroom coffee. Four Sigmatic's mushroom coffee is real, organic, fair trade, single origin Arabica coffee with lion's mane mushroom for productivity and shaga mushroom for immune support. I've been starting my day with Four Sigmatic's ground mushroom coffee with lion's mane instead of regular coffee, and I love how it helps me focus so I can get shit done. It's amazing, and I absolutely feel an uptick in my productivity every time I drink it. It helps me focus like nothing else. Mushroom coffee is also easy on my gut and doesn't leave me with that awful jittery feeling or midday crash.
This is so cool, Zach. I had a friend come from Asheville. She stayed with me. We were running a half marathon together. I'm just like, hey, you know, we got the half marathon later today. Do you want to start your day with some coffee? She was like, actually, no. And I go, oh, you don't do coffee? She goes, sorry, Johnny, I only do Four Sigmatic. And I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? Look over here. She was like, what? And I'm just like, I do a podcast. Of course I drink Four Sigmatic. Who doesn't? She is like, Johnny Fairplay, you are the man. Let's start our day right. How cool is that, Zach?
That's incredible. Hey, she knows what's up.
All Four Sigmatic products are organic, vegan, and gluten-free. And every single batch is third-party lab tested to ensure its purity and safety, so you know you're getting the highest quality coffee and mushrooms possible. Now, you're probably thinking, does this coffee taste like mushrooms? I can guarantee it tastes just like the coffee you love. It brews dark and nutty and tastes incredible. Over 20,000 five-star reviews, and best of all, Four Sigmatic backs their products with a 100% money-back guarantee. Love every sip or get your money back.
And we've worked out an exclusive offer with Four Sigmatic on their best-selling mushroom coffee, and it's just for Reality NSFW listeners. Get up to 40% off and free shipping on mushroom coffee bundles. To claim the deal, you must go to foursigmatic.com/survivor. This offer is only for Reality NSFW listeners and is not available on their regular website. You'll save up to 40% and get free shipping. So go right now to foursigmatic.com/survivor and fuel your productivity and creativity with some delicious mushroom coffee. Welcome back to Reality NSFW. That's right. We're going full renegade tonight. If you've been listening to us talk about Big Brother at all, then you know it's the seafood king, Memphis Garrett. He is here. You've heard about mornings with Memphis. We're doing evenings with Memphis tonight. What's up, Memphis? How are you doing, my man?
What's up? What's up? I'm doing great, man. Couldn't be any happier. Couldn't be any better. You know, just fucking grinding, man. I got so much going on. I can't keep my head straight, but it's good. Money's good. Life's good.
I love the grind, brother. I mean, I got to be honest with you. Like, we're sitting here. It's mid June. I bought a 1974 Volkswagen thing. Tonight is the first night where I've had like good headlights, my top down, a nice breeze. I'm wearing a commission T-shirt. And I'm driving to this podcast. My dick is literally hard. Like, I'm just like, are all the stars aligned?
Well, I mean, for those like listening and not watching, the reason your dick is hard is probably pointing out the elephant in the room and the brunette sitting next to you, Johnny. It has nothing to do with Memphis, Zach, no, or myself. I promise you. You think about four blue chews, fucking Manscaped and shit. You can't fool me. But Memphis, yeah, so it was so funny. So when we were covering Big Brother last summer,
yeah,
you know, Zach here and Johnny and myself, we're like, we're seeing a different Memphis than we saw at the sushi bar when we were hanging out. Because we're like telling, we're like, dude, Memphis is the coolest motherfucker. He's badass. We talked about our fucking like shenanigans in Florida and stuff. And then all of a sudden, man, like we see this like side of Memphis playing the game of Big Brother. And I'm like, damn, he sometimes comes across as a fucking dick, but I swear the guy's not a fucking dick, man. And Johnny and I, every episode, we're convincing Zach, like, dude, I promise you, this motherfucker's awesome as fuck.
Well, let's cut to like one of the most awkward moments of my entire life, which was in Florida for, you know, Give Kids the World Village. And I arrived a couple hours after Johnny, and Johnny's like, Zach, don't worry, I set you up. I told Memphis you've been calling him an asshole. I'll fucking see
you. Oh, you got your back.
What? So,
I don't know, man. Again, I haven't watched it, but I can only, like, when you guys kind of know the drill, and you've talked to enough people, and ultimately in that game, they kind of dictate who they want you to be in certain contexts, right? So I got the hint of that, you know, pretty much like a couple weeks in when the producers and the DR are like, oh, yeah, say that again. Like, say what you just said like that, but say it again. And it was kind of very like that a little like I'm a little bit of an asshole. I'm a little arrogant. I'm a little cocky. I'm a little like that. And once they started kind of like drilling that, I could tell. I'm like, all right, these motherfuckers are making me sound. Because I kind of say it out of context when I'm just like, I'm trying to be funny, but it's like, no, it's obvious. I know they're going to make it sound like a fucking dickhead when I say this. But fuck it, I'm going to say it anyway. And that's kind of like where the narrative was going, and I knew it. But at some point, you're like, fuck it, man. It's a TV show. So I'm just going to lean into it a little bit.
And dude, it is. And the things you just, the adjectives that you said, like, man, I could tell I was coming across like kind of as an ass, cocky. Dude, that's exactly... But you're not like the Memphis that I got to hang out with was, I mean, you are who you are, right?
Yeah.
Like you weren't playing some character. However, maybe it was just the game was, you know, you're playing the game again. This is intense. You're leaving your son to play, and there's a lot on the line. You know what I mean? Yeah.
And as far as like a character trait like that, that's something you can lean in on the diary room stuff and be fucking normal, like on Pearl Islands, you know, I got all my shit out on my confessionals.
Yeah.
So like, you know, like I was a dick on my confessionals and I go back, I'm like, hey, how's everybody doing?
Yeah. But in during the game, like, and that's what they don't really show like much life. During the game, like if I was a dickhead in the house, like completely, I would have been out of the fucking house
then go.
A week, 100%. Week two. So like, the way that they were making me look and sound like in the DR, it's not how I was acting, even though I think people were thinking that. And I'm like, how would I fucking ever survive as far as I did if I did act like that, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, the only time that I think I did that outside of the DR is when I put up David and what's her name on the block, like the first week or two or whatever, week two, and basically said, you're both rookies. You're a rookie. You're going to have to earn for this. And you're the first. And, you know, you just played last year or whatever the fuck I said. Yeah. That was probably the only like kind of context in that mode that I was like out in the public doing it. But I don't think, you know, when you watch the show, they don't show a lot of the interaction, right? When you're talking about 24 hours, 7 days a week, you can't. So they didn't see me like talking to David every morning and having coffee with him, and like they don't show any of that shit, and they don't want to show it because then it's gonna mess up the storyline, right? So that's the funny stuff. People will make assumptions based on an hour of footage that's edited and cropped over 7 days, like, you know. So it's not, I promise you, like, you probably watch me like, wow, this dude's a fucking asshole. But again,
well, no,
like,
I mean, on the show it looked like you seem like we hung out with you, me and Johnny. We said it over and over, like, Memphis fucking rules. Like, you know, like when we hung out, you know, when you hit it off with certain people,
for sure.
You know what I mean? So you were not, I never got one bit of cocky asshole Memphis
man. I know.
So what was the, you say you never watched your season that just last year. So you haven't watched it. So, what is the I know Big Brother fans, that fan base, man, is pretty fucking rough on social media. It can really fuck up people's lives. How has the aftermath been for you after you played?
I tell you, coming out of the house, it was difficult at some angles because there was so many layers and people reaching out and just talking shit and like just being like very hateful and very spiteful. And like for me, like, you know me, like I, there's not a bad bone in my body when it comes to like talking shit about people, especially people I don't know. Like if I'm gonna talk shit to you about you, I'm gonna say it to your face, right? So it's like, I'm not like that. And it was very interesting to kind of like hear people say that to me and say crazy shit, death threats, all that stuff. And it kind of played a toll for a little bit, but ultimately you get to the point where you're like, fuck, most of these fucking trolls, they're fucking 11 years old or some shit and their fucking parents. Like, it's like, it doesn't, and literally that's, it was either that or like some fucking woman from Wisconsin that's like 65. I was like, I can't even argue with these people because they don't have a fucking leg to stand on, or they're either fucking 13 or the fucking 60. So it kind of like kind of wrapped
now Wisconsin hates
that.
You.
Yeah. Okay. It's all good.
So that's our Wisconsin sucks. It's okay. I don't want Wisconsin either. So don't come at me.
It was tough at first, but you kind of have to just wrap your head around like, look, not everyone's going to like me. And ultimately, no one really knows me either. Right. So the people that are making these kind of like overall broad ideas of who I am, you got it from a show. I even got it. And I try not, I don't really fight back about it because I'm like, who the fuck am I talking to anyway? But when I do, it's very interesting because their view of me is like, somebody wrote like on my page like a couple weeks ago, they were like, said something like, I hated you on the show and da 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 da, but now I like you and I watch Mornings with Memphis. And I'm like, first of all, fuck you. And second of all, like, I can't wrap my head around the fact that you're gonna make an assumption about me watching me on an edited footage in a house locked away for 3 months with 16 strangers. Like, please, like, okay, so that's not the normal human, like, no matter what. So I don't know, man. And now I'm like, fuck you. And then I'm like, I let them read it and then I block them. So I get the last laugh.
I am all about letting them read and block. That is my go-to move. I'm just like, let me leave this up just long enough for this motherfucker to read it and then fucking block the fuck out of them.
It's a good move. It's very, very like, it's fulfilling as fuck.
It feels so good.
So Memphis, for those who don't know, you're a successful entrepreneur, a restaurant deer. I don't know what the term is. Okay. So you are always opening up awesome restaurants and shit. That's what you're good at. You're telling us and you pick the menus out, all the whole nine. So like, how did that affect your businesses after Big Brother aired? Was there any negative impact on it?
Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing. Like, look, I've been opening restaurants basically my entire life. I have a successful hospitality company. Like, I'm opening 3 new restaurants this year. Like, I'm a very busy man and I do a lot, but ultimately, like, going on the show is just like something I did a long time ago, 12 years ago on the first run. And then this other time, it was basically because of COVID. I had the ability because all my restaurants were basically barely serving. So I was like, okay, this is an opportunity. So it's not something that I go on the shows because I'm going to basically like become famous or kind of get anything out of it in regards to minus just playing the game and trying to win $500,000. That's always been the goal every time I went on. So when I came off this show, dude, I mean, I got crazy. Like my marketing director had to call Yelp, had to call Google. They had to lock all of the review sites. And she said it took like 2 weeks to like get everything locked where no one could write reviews because I got 165 bad Yelp reviews in a week.
Because they obviously never been to your restaurant. They're just like, fuck this guy. We want to, the hater trolls are going to like, let's try to hurt him any way we can, which is fucking bullshit that you're playing a show on TV that's for fucking entertainment. And then these idiots that are sitting behind their fucking computer are fucking with you and all the other cast's real fucking life.
Well, for the record, Matt, I'm okay with them hating Memphis and I'm okay with them hating me.
Yeah.
The beauty of television and, you know, and to narrow it down to the genre of reality television, if you love someone, the reason you love them so much is because you hate someone else that's against them. Right. So like, don't destroy our lives for bringing you entertainment value.
We have a special guest.
Oh my God. Here she is.
What's happening?
Abbott, everyone.
Dang, this is a full on
hold
party.
On. I'm looking at my calendar and it's June 16th.
15th.
Yeah. I believe. 15th. But it feels like Christmas.
Yeah. Can you hear him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's literally like the midpoint, 6 months in.
Yeah, we're right. We're right by halfway to Christmas. It's right there.
Well, you know what? Now that Christmas is here, let's talk about it. Memphis and Christmas, you guys are an item. Well, how is that going? How are you guys? I've obviously hung out with you guys and gotten dinner. It was a lot of fun. I love you two together, but what is up?
It's amazing. It's unreal. I can't believe we found love on a reality show. That's fucking bizarre to me, but we're living proof that, you know, things happen for certain reasons, and just very, very fortunate and happy and just very thankful. She's an amazing.
So out of anything, I mean, that's the most badass thing is what you guys have money cannot buy. So it almost is like part of, you know, what was meant to fucking happen was you guys getting on this show at that period of time in your life. So the haters can fuck off, because at the end of the day, you guys are sitting here having the last laugh. You know what I mean?
Oh, for sure. I mean, we always say that we won no matter what, you know. It's like, you know, at some point you just say, fuck the money, you know, we'll make that money anyways. So right. It's not a big deal. Right. But we definitely, you know, there's definitely something in the works in regards to the idea that we both ended up on the show at a certain time that we did, with so many different things going on. And that's something like a testament to just like, I don't know, there's a higher power or something. So, you know, someone's up there looking out for us, pulling some strings. Because I would have never met her. I would have never met her.
Right. Oh, yeah. Right.
Let's backtrack to In the House. Your guys' relationship was not part of the edit that we got to see, or really anything that I saw at all. How much of this relationship was real in the house? How much were you like, we got to wait till after we get out of this house? What was it like playing Big Brother with someone that you had feelings for?
You want to touch that one?
Okay. You know, we actually kind of tried to fight each other, because we did have chemistry right away. And we were both in other relationships, but those relationships were just like a few months in. So people were like, oh my God, you wrecked a marriage. You kind of like, no. We, you know, and honestly, we were really respectful of our other partners. And when we came out of the house, we took care of our business. But we literally, I tell people, I'm like, when do you fall in love with somebody before you even kiss them? Like, we were definitely, am I allowed to say this? We were definitely in love in the house. And
yeah,
we like
for sure.
Kind of tried to deny it or hide it. And like, we couldn't talk about it. You couldn't act on it. You just, you know, you needed to just kind of, and that was part of the torture too.
Yeah, there were moments. There was many moments where you would walk into a room and like I would walk in and she would be there. I'm like, okay, I really want to just sit down and talk to her. But I'll be like, fuck, this will be like, you know, too many hours of that. You know, it's like you got to kind of look into the perception of what other people would think. And we're like, fuck, we're like, oh, we're basically running from each other. Yeah. In the house.
So what is it the Christmas exit or the I can't remember which one went first. The kiss before you go. That was a kiss, right?
That was not a kiss.
That was not a kiss. You said not a kiss when I asked you this at Heart's Reality. I just wanted to see if you want to change your answer. That was not a kiss.
Not a kiss.
Not a kiss. Not a kiss.
Oh my God. Yeah. You're the cruelest person ever, Christmas. How can you not give this man a kiss on his way out?
Whatever. Okay, so he got a kiss for me, and I don't know if you guys remember, like I couldn't control myself. I fell apart. And the entire time, like they kept trying to interview me for the DR, and I just couldn't stop crying for anything. And they were like, do you need to go to just go wash your face off? I was like, no, I need to go to sleep. And so I convinced him, I was like, wake me up. And before I can realize what's going on, ask me what you need to ask me, because I'm going to fall apart again. I legit, and people were making fun of me because I was crying nonstop. I never cried like that before. I was broken.
Wow. Now I want to ask, did you guys know each other in the whole reality TV community world prior at all? Never met, nothing.
No, we had never met. There was like a moment about a year and a half before we went on this show that I was opening a hotel in Fort Lauderdale, and she was doing like an appearance at the W here in Fort Lauderdale. And the W was a comp set from what I was opening. So basically, they posted a picture of her, and it was like, I was like, who's that woman? And I started following her like on social media. I just was very drawn to her, but I never like reached out, or I never like DM'd her or nothing like that. So I had this. Yeah. So I had this kind of like,
I'm a DM king, Memphis. You better.
Yeah. So I had this like kind of, I don't know if you want to say like affection or just kind of like this, you know, I don't know, this crush or something. So there was just something drawing me to her. And then like Entertainment Tonight interviewed us when we were in sequestered, and they were like, I don't know if you guys saw this, but so basically they were like, well, if there was anyone past guest that you could see yourself in a showmance with, who would it be? And I was like, no, like I'm in a relationship. I wouldn't, you know, I like, and she was like, kept pushing. She was like, yeah, but just hypothetically. And I'm like, okay, hypothetically Christmas Abbott. And then fucking 3 days later, she comes down the stairs and I'm like, oh, fuck, this is, I got to explain this shit.
The clip where I come down the stairs, yeah, I want to see the one that shows his face where he realizes that I'm in the house.
yeah. So that's kind of how it all went down, and then it just happened, and it wasn't like 3 months with someone, you know, that you're spending just every waking moment with, and realizing that like this person is like literally built and made for you, like to every T. So
that's what Zach keeps telling me.
Yeah.
God damn it. Yeah. I can't not get roasted on this episode because I'm in the wrong. Everything here. I knew it was coming. Let's go.
Yeah. Oh, shit. So good.
I will say I loved Christmas the whole season. I was pro Christmas the whole season. I was just anti Memphis. So not.
And Memphis, I don't. So you say you haven't watched the season. Like, here's the incredible part. So I feel like they gave you like not only just a bad guy edit, they gave you an asshole edit. But then you have Julie Chen as everyone's voted out, going, you know, and how do you feel that Memphis was responsible for everything that happened to you, to every single person that was voted out? And I'm just like, wow, like that's not really the asshole edit. Did Julie Chen not watch the same show we did?
Yeah. I think she didn't want to give me the asshole credit. I like have a good rapport with her, and I don't think she wanted to. But I do think like her saying that, like, I think that's giving me a lot of just credit in general for kicking everyone out of the house. I mean, I'll take it, but
yeah,
you know, I don't.
But every single person, they're just like, and just know that Memphis was responsible for all of this. And I'm just like, wow. I'm just like, because we don't, yeah, like, all we see on the show is like, you'll just know, you show up for a snidbit. It's just like, oh, Memphis is being a dick again. I'm just like, and then it's me and Matt going, this guy's really cool. And Zach going, this guy's an asshole.
To be clear, I've retracted all those statements, and also I think CBS thought Memphis was going to win. Like I solidly think that is why we got that edit. But like CBS is in an incredible position with Big Brother, where they have to like start tailoring an edit really early when they have no idea what the fuck is about to happen, and they started tailoring an edit where Memphis is running the game really early on, and then all of a sudden, wait, Cody's running the game? We don't know what to do right now. They kept giving Memphis credit like halfway through the journey until he goes out.
Well, it's funny because like I'll tell you, for instance, like this edit, and there's one particular thing that I did see after the fact, and we were sitting on the back patio in the backyard, and I think Ian was on the block, and Ian was gonna go home, and Nicole was like, you know, can we really talk about this? Like, I just don't want to send Ian home, blah, 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 blah. And I said something like, you know, we could, if you love him that much, we can send your ass home with him. And something like that. But like in context of me saying it, like it was, it was fun. Like she laughed at it. Like it was funny. Like I was just fucking with her. Like it was a joke, but they did not make it like that at all. They were like, wow, this motherfucker is ruthless. You know,
and that was my favorite line of the entire season. No contest.
Oh, yeah, all the Nicole haters out there, that was like King Memphis all of a sudden. That came out of nowhere.
But in that moment, it wasn't, it was totally taken out of context. Like I said that, but I was totally joking and she knew I was joking. And it's like, I think that's like where people like, my humor only comes if you know me. And if you don't know me, I'm just a fucking asshole, I guess.
So was it playing the second time? Was it as what you thought it would be? Like, was it still fun at all? Like, take the relationship part out of it, but just like playing the game.
The relationship part wasn't fun at all.
No, that wasn't really fun either. But I think playing the game two times. Yeah, playing the game two times, it definitely you have a clear path like of what you want to do, or at least I did. I wanted to execute a certain thing. All the stuff that I did in the house, as far as the committee, the commission, all that stuff I had already mapped out before I walked in the house. So there was a very like direct like way I was going to play, which the first time you play, it's really tough to wrap your head around something like that, to have a game plan, because you're kind of like, fuck, what am I doing? I've never done this. It's weird.
And you're so young. Mm-hmm. And you're like, it's yeah. A mix of figuring things out and also being kind of young and dumb and fun. And then mm-hmm. this time, everybody, it was just like cold snipers.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone had a very clear, but so I think that is. So it's, I think people, I think you have a better gameplay. Like everyone's like, oh, when I got out, all the producers like, oh, you played a great game and you were really fun to watch. Like you played the game. And I think that's something like when you play like the first time, it's tough to play the game. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah. At least it was for me. Yeah.
Yeah, you have production scaring you so much the first time you play. They're just like, really, you can't do this. And then when you go back, you're like, fuck, I can do whatever the fuck I want.
yeah.
And they're just like, all right.
But that was, the first time is always like kind of a novelty. So you have, I think you have more fun. Because you're like, oh, this is so cool. This is so bizarre and weird. The second time, you're like, I walked in and I'm like, this is going to fucking suck.
Well, speaking to that, Memphis, how much did you expect a callback? How ready were you for All-Stars 2? I think fans have been talking about this shit for years. Yeah.
I've been out of that world now, the reality world, and out of like minus Hearts of Reality, which is the only, you know, kind of like philanthropy reality stuff I do. Out of that and doing that like 2 years ago because Mark Long called me, like outside of that, like I wasn't really in that world and I didn't expect a call at all. And I'll tell you how it went down. He's like, COVID was full force, and Dan, who talked, you know, every few weeks me and Dan catch up, but like he called me like out of the blue and he's like, hey, if I ask you a question, like what, like if someone called you from CBS and like asked you to go on, like what would you say? And I'm like, well, if you went back on, I might go back on. And he's like, yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. But, like, what if someone did call you? And then fucking 3 hours later, the phone rings, and I'm like, fuck.
Dude, that's fucking nuts.
And but I will tell you this. Like, so, obviously, Dan was, I think, an influential part of me going back on. But I was an alternate, man. I went out to L.A. for 2 weeks. Like, they were like, hey, we'll pay you this much. Just go to L.A. for 2 weeks. We'll put you up in a big-ass fucking house. And I'm like, all right, cool. I'll take that money right now. COVID's fucking, everything's closed. And I'm like, done. And I didn't know, honestly, I didn't know I was chosen until Rich called me or called the handler like 3 days before we were supposed to. I was planning on going right back to South Florida. And he called me 3 days before. He's like, hey, man, get your head right. Like, you're going in. And I was like, fuck. And I was, so it just kind of happened like that. And I was like, oh, shit, well, here we go. So
another fun fact is that the person he replaced is Josh from my season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh so, my
so,
God.
Okay. So going off of that, I'm so glad Christmas is here for this. So Christmas, if Josh and Casey are in the house, how does that change things? I'm assuming you're still there.
No, she's for sure still there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what does that look like for your game?
I mean,
no, she already did.
Pretty much the same, you know. Like I want to come in and let people know that I was going to be a force to be reckoned with, and if you wanted me on the block, you're going to have to beat me or backdoor me. And I was able to kind of show that right away. And otherwise, you know, people would have targeted me and Josh already. But if you, we would have had like with the people know how we would have had a pretty large alliance, pretty much. Like,
but cool. Are you and Casey friends?
Yeah, I love Casey.
Yeah, I mean, like, I could see you guys being out, like, you know, the two alpha females in the house. I see working together, so I see a possible, like, big time different dynamic. And so the commission, maybe the female commission running the show.
Look, it's the Big Brother's so crazy because we get that question all the time, and a lot of times we're like, well, what if Dan was back in the house, or what if, you know, Josh was there, or Casey, or whatever. Like, one person gone, one person added to that house, especially like a big personality player, right? Like Josh, like Casey, like Dan, changes the entire fucking game. I mean, everything. It is definitely like, I think when you lose people, I think it's easier because there's so many people that kind of like float their way through the house, and you can kind of just be like, oh, that person didn't do shit anyway. They could easily, you know. But I think when you add a personality, fuck, it could change everything big time.
Yeah. Well, you heard it here. Memphis agrees with me. Casey is a big personality player. But before we discuss more about that, we're going to hear a word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
By the time you feel thirsty, it's too late. You're already dehydrated. You can't focus and you feel tired.
Drinking enough water is critical for a healthy lifestyle that you're trying to maintain. It increases your brain power, boosts your productivity. It can prevent headaches and it'll increase your focus. Not only that, it improves your skin and mood, and it can help with your digestion and give you energy. Wow, it also prevents bad breath and can help you lose weight. But how much water should you drink each day? 10 cups? A gallon? The good news is that it doesn't have to be so complicated. That's why I start my day with Hydrant, because Hydrant helps you hydrate faster.
Hydrant has created a refreshing electrolyte powder that you mix directly into water to more efficiently and effectively hydrate your body. It hydrates you quickly and keeps you going for longer. Each rapid hydration mix has the four essential electrolytes that your body needs: sodium, potassium, magnesium, and zinc. And it packs a punch to help your body hydrate fast and stay hydrated. If you're looking for that extra boost of energy, there's also Hydrant Plus Caffeine, which contains 100 milligrams of caffeine from green tea. Hydrant is backed by research. The formula was developed by an Oxford scientist. It also is loved by pro athletes, top performers, celebrities, and has thousands of five-star reviews.
It's made with real fruit juice powder. It's delicious and refreshing, and it comes in a variety of flavors, including iced tea, lemonade, and fruit punch. My favorite personally is the grapefruit. It's a classic and I go back to it. It's delicious. Plus, this stuff is backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. If you don't love it, you can send it back for a full refund. You really need to try it for yourself to see what I'm talking about. It tastes incredible and it works.
Well, Hydrant starts at just $1 a packet for a 30-day supply, and you save even more with a monthly subscription. And it's so easy to get. We've got a special deal for our listeners to save 25% off your first order. We're not kidding here, folks. 25%. Go to drinkhydrant.com/survivor and enter our promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. That's drinkhydrant.com/survivor and enter promo code SURVIVOR for 25% off your first order. That's drinkhydrant.com/survivor. Enter promo code SURVIVOR to save 25%. And we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. Growing up, cereal was one of the best parts of being a kid. But I had to give it up because I realized it was full of sugar and junk that you really shouldn't eat. Now, I've been trying to cut down on carbs, sugar, and unhealthy food, and realized I basically can't eat anything anymore. I've been drinking protein shakes and powders for years, but finally found a delicious way to get my protein before and after workouts. Now, we're all trying to eat better, but healthy breakfast doesn't have to be boring. Magic Spoon has the amazing flavors you'll love, but without all the bad stuff.
We're talking 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving. And there's only 140 calories a serving. This stuff's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, low-carb, and GMO-free. And we've got exciting news. Magic Spoon has released a super delicious new flavor, Birthday Cake. Birthday Cake Magic Spoon will be available in a special 5-pack for a limited time only, so get it now while you can. You can also do the build-your-own box, with available flavors to build your own custom bundle with cocoa, fruity, frosted, peanut butter, and cinnamon. If you're listening from Canada, Magic Spoon now ships there as well. Great news all around.
Go, Zach. It's your birthday. Go, Zach. It's your birthday. But also go to magicspoon.com/survivor to grab the new limited edition birthday cake or a custom bundle of cereal to try it today. Be sure to use our promo code SURVIVOR at checkout to save $5 off your order. This offer is now good anywhere in the U.S. or Canada, but only when you use our code SURVIVOR at checkout.
And Magic Spoon is so confident in their products, it's backed by a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/survivor and use the code SURVIVOR to save $5. Thanks, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode.
Go, Zach. It's your birthday. All right. Hey, can we address this? The commission t-shirts owned by me and I think two other people.
That's it? I think
Memphis and Cody's mom, right?
Yeah. That's it.
I don't know. I don't even know if Memphis has one.
I don't.
They're available at JohnnyFairplay.com. And don't forget, when you order a t-shirt from JohnnyFairplay.com, no H in Johnny, you get a phone call from me, Johnny Fairplay, thanking you for your call. Or your purchase, whatever.
There you go.
Wow. That's disgusting. But Memphis, well, I do have to ask you, because anyone who's been a fan of this show, you've heard Johnny talk, 99 times? I wanted him to talk 100 times, but he wouldn't do it. He stopped short. About the time when you guys got sushi. I had the experience of going out to get some seafood with you guys. Johnny was like, I'm going to show you how cool Memphis is. And I was like, shit, you turned me around. What is your favorite seafood item for anyone out there who wants to eat seafood like Memphis?
What the fuck?
It requires a drink.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Well, so Memphis. So
I think that we got. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just going to say we had a great time that night at sushi, but I think we had been drinking fucking for 2 days straight at that point.
We went to a shitty sushi restaurant, and Memphis goes, "Fuck this! You're in my home state. I'm not fucking allowing this. We're going to a fucking good sushi place, and I'm going to treat you guys to some good fucking sushi." And so we did.
Mm-hmm. We went and we ate at this one shitty place, and then and then we went to another place. It was a good time. I will say, man, that weekend was, I guess that was pre-COVID. So yeah, I mean, we were just after it that weekend compared to the last Give Kids the World, which obviously was a very, smaller scale because of COVID. But we got to get it back to where it was.
Where we, oh yeah,
sign shit. Say hello and get drunk.
So you guys got to hang out, Johnny, in December of last year when Zach first met him. So Zach, when you're seeing Memphis on TV and you saw Memphis in real life. So now you believe Johnny and I when we say Memphis is a fucking badass dude.
Oh no, this guy's a total dick, man. No. It was like one of the worst nightmares, because like when I comment on reality television, I'm like make it clear I am only talking about the person I'm seeing on television. I don't know this person at all. So then when I'm like rolling into Florida, like,
yeah,
oh cool, I'm gonna get to meet Memphis. Johnny's like, don't worry, I've already prefaced you to him. I told him that you called him an asshole on the radio all year. Like, what the fuck, man?
And this is followed Memphis. This is followed Memphis by Zach getting out of your car and while you're parking, you're going to self parking or whatever, and Zach going, Memphis and Christmas are the two coolest people I've ever met in my entire life.
Yeah,
Well, that is apocryphal, but I do love Memphis and Christmas. They're two of my favorite people. I was instantly posting on social media of like, I'm hanging out with Memphis and Christmas. This is so cool. 6 months before that or whatever, when the show was on the air, like no way would I have been posting that, that I was so excited about that. So yeah, I totally changed my mind after I hung out with Memphis for like literally a second. So I get it.
Well, a second.
Christmas does a deal.
It's so funny that you say that because you have no idea how many people message me that. Like you don't like it. It's nonstop, and especially people. I'm glad I continue to do Mornings Memphis, purely based on the fact that there's so many people that now are like, oh, yeah, I don't fucking hate you. I like mm-hmm. You actually seem like a nice dude. So I kind of like, I like the fact that I'm doing that because at least it gives people a different angle of me. And I think that is something that is to be said about reality TV, and everyone needs to kind of take that away when they're watching these shows of like,
it's a show.
This is fucking edited.
No, it's huge.
And it's a show. You know, and I think that's something that most people don't understand, or they can't wrap their head around.
We're playing to the edit.
They don't want to.
we're playing to the edit that they're giving us.
Yeah.
I mean, like when I went on my first season of Survivor, and after I got off, like someone showed me a piece of paper that had my tribe and it said Rupert the pirate, Trish the den mom. And that's the edit that the producers and the camera people and the sound people, that they're all told to portray when they're filming you, and the editors are given the same notes, and that's what they show. And you know, and with Johnny, they're like, you know, the mischievous bad guy, or you know, whatever it's you know, like so. But that's what they're given. Mm-hmm. So and like you could go in there despite what those notes say, you know, and you could be like, you know, I'm the biggest philanthropist ever, and you know, and I'm now an elf, and they're just like, well, we're not gonna show that because that's not what the fucking piece of paper said at the bottom, you know, at the bottom corner of your picture that they gave CBS at the beginning of the filming.
Yeah, I mean, you want to lean into it. I think if you do, then you kind of create that storyline that they want. Look, I give these producers credit, man. I mean, I don't know how the fuck they make sense out of so much footage in that house. I would be so confused. You know, like it's tough to really kind of grasp the storyline, I'm sure. And especially when people are going with floppy changes and ideas and different stuff like that. So you kind of got to give it to them. But I just wish like that people understand that. In that it is a show and you can't believe everything that's on there, even though it is reality TV. You know, we're getting into, you know, Big Brother starts what in fucking less than a month, right?
Mm-hmm.
If I was a producer of the last season of Big Brother of All Stars, and I knew nothing, and I walked in, you know, with no notes, and they're just like, hey, we're making a show, like, you know what, like I would just be like, okay, we're telling the story of David having no idea what Big Brother is. And that would be my entire story.
Yeah.
It would be a great story.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I mean, I think a lot of purists that love Big Brother that actually knew more than David going into it would hate it, especially since the season was called fucking All Stars. But I think that would be a great season. And that's what I would go into if I were a producer sight unseen.
So are you done with reality TV, Memphis?
Yeah, I mean, look. I'm done with anything that takes me away from my family. I don't think I could do anything that's basically more than a few weeks long outside of, you know, being here. That shit was just too difficult. I mean, that was one of the hardest things that I've ever done. Just leaving my son, it's just difficult. And it's so long, especially with the COVID whole thing. I mean, I was gone right at 100 days, you know, and it was just like, I mean, it's almost gut-wrenching, you know, to think about. So I don't think anything like that I could ever do. You know, I think, what is it? Amazing Race is what, 27 days, 30 days, 31 days or some shit like that. Survivor's what, 48 or something?
Well, not the wild season was what, 26.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think like it would have to make sense timeline wise if I did anything. I can say that like I'm working on something. So we'll know and probably, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
I foresee you and Christmas on an upcoming season of Amazing Race.
Yeah, I know. I mean, dude, you think they'll ever do that show again? I mean, fuck, this is like the worst. That's the worst show to do.
You can do it for a year. I don't know if you've ever been to Alabama, but you could spend 39 days in Alabama.
Can you imagine, like, keep it in the States? Like, fuck, it'd be so fucking absurd. Oh, God.
Well, Memphis, since
we'll go through the Mormons in Utah, we'll go to Hillbillies in Kentucky.
What do you think this next season of Big Brother is going to look like? Do you see CBS pivoting in any major way? Do you see players adapting in any major way? Or do you think this is going to be a pretty regular Big Brother season?
I think they're obviously going to pivot. I mean, they've obviously made a stance in basically having a very diverse cast compared to previous seasons. You know, they made a stance, you know, and that was something that, like, I feel like the cast would always get shit on whenever there's one fucking, you know, there's like 15 white dudes and fucking one African American. It's like, and the general public would be like, would look at like me or anyone else in that situation like it's their fault, right? Like, it's like, wait a minute, right. I didn't fucking cast anyone on this show. I just went on the show. I didn't even know who was going to be on the show. So right. I think with that being said, they've tried to make adjustments and I think it's good. I think it's great. I think the fact that, you know, I think they have done a good job from a personality stance. And I think that's why Big Brother is Big Brother, right? Putting a puzzle piece together with analogies. They're not putting a puzzle piece together with the different ethnicities of people, right? It was all like a mental personality game, and that's how they put the pieces together. So now they're adding a level of like, okay, we're gonna add the personalities, or we have to have that because that's what the game fucking makes and creates, but ultimately we need more diversity. So I think from a casting director's aspect, it's gonna be tough because you're like, okay, I don't only have to look at personalities, I have to look at the ethnicity of these people too. So let's see what fucking happens. I don't know. I mean, I think the personality stands weird because it's going to be very difficult from a casting director to say, okay, I need this type of personality. Well, we need them to be a white female, right? And I don't think that ever was the case before. They were just looking for a certain type of personality. And now there's a couple layers deep.
Yeah, it's like, I want a neurotic female.
I think they should.
I want a neurotic female. I want an alpha male. I want, you know. And, yeah. And they're only pulling from the videos that they're getting. So
we'll
and
see what happens.
Truth be told, they're getting 90% white submittance of videos.
For sure.
Yeah. It's probably perpetuating.
100%.
Yeah. I think that's changing.
Yeah. But again, like, look, it definitely needs to happen. There needs to be more diversity. And I think we'll see it. And I think we'll see it on every kind of ethnic background. You know what I mean? I don't think it's going to be white and black. It's not going to be like that. I think you're going to see a lot of different, you know, people from different backgrounds on this show. And look, I think ultimately it's going to make for great TV. It's going to become very interesting to watch even more than it is now. So I'm looking forward to seeing it. And, you know, I know there's still, I don't know who's, you know, who knows who they cast it, but they started, you know, Robin's not involved anymore. So Robin's not the casting director for Big Brother. She was the casting director forever. She was the casting director. So they brought in someone else. She wants to do something else. And we'll see how that person does. Because think about that. That's going to be a huge change. The same person's been casting the show since day one. And now there's a new casting director. I'm very interested to see what that does to the show. Because that's a totally different ballgame, I think. So I'm anxious to see that. I know they're reaching out. It was so weird, man. And there was four people four people that I deal with like on a weekly basis. One's like my social media manager. One is a lawyer buddy of mine that I literally do business with and see him once a week for drinks. And another part, two other people that are in my life, they all got reached out to, like DM'd about Big Brother, coming on Big Brother, like probably a month and a half ago. And I'm
oh my God,
are they fucking stalking my fucking, like, are they stalking my friends
list? That's season 23. So fucking... Big Brother 23, buddies of Memphis. I love it. Yes.
Oh, here comes another blob alliance. Here we go. Way to ruin the game, Memphis.
I know. I love how I took credit for ruining the fucking game because I succeeded in it. But
yeah, what was there a pre-alliance?
No. I mean, dude, think about it. I was supposed to be a fucking alternate. So, okay. And you know, okay. Not only I was an alternate, I had to be in LA on Wednesday, right? On Wednesday, like on a flight, pack my shit, ready to go as an alternate. I got a phone call on Thursday, Johnny. Thursday. How the fuck am I going to? I barely had time to sign all the paperwork, take piss test, get a fucking 27 COVID test, and get on a fucking plane. Like, I didn't know what was going on. So, no pre-alliances. It wasn't like that. So, I just didn't have the time or the bandwidth even trying to do shit like that. It was just so quick for me, you know?
Why the inability to work with Janelle and Kacer?
I think the only inability, I wanted to work with both of them. The only inability was they just came out guns blazing so hard. Like, in my eyes, the way that I try to play the game is like, you kind of have to be a chameleon for the first few weeks and kind of be liked enough where you're not going to fucking, you know, ruffle the feathers to like be the first one out of the house. And I think they were very vocal on not liking certain people. You can't be vocal about not liking anyone unless you fucking win something, right? Mm-hmm. How the fuck, who's got the balls to be like, well, fuck, like to be like vocally against someone and then not win? You can't, because the repercussions of that is you're going to be the one that's targeted. So I think that was something that I saw playing out, where it's like they were trying to play the game. Don't get it twisted. Like, that's the way they play the game. But if they would have won competitions, it would have shifted everything and they could play like that, right? It's just not how I play. I like to just basically kind of like tread water for a little bit, you know, put my stake in the ground. But ultimately, you can't come out that hard. And I always saw them to be very, they were just playing the game for that. And I think you have to be more meticulous than that when you first come in the house. But I really wanted to, man. I was pissed when Kacer left. Like, I was not, like, I wanted him to stay. Because, you know, I didn't know. I thought having them two around was benefiting my game, right? I didn't want him to leave because I could have.
I saw you working with Janelle.
Kacer would have won, like, an HOH. Then I would have still been sitting pretty. So, for me, I could have easily played both sides. So, I wanted them to say, just in case the committee didn't win, you know, now we won fucking 12 in a row, so it doesn't really matter. But ultimately, it was like, I said, for me, it would have went well either way. And I think that was something that, like, I didn't ever want them to go. I just thought that they played hard, man. Like, they came out guns blazing.
Yeah, just humble brag, we won 12 in a row. No worries.
We'll lean into it a little more, all right? So,
so why is David the greatest player of Big Brother ever?
I remember vividly being like, yeah, I'm not taking that bait, Johnny.
Okay, sorry. I'm just reading from the my notes.
So, unlike Survivor and Amazing Race, you're filmed on, like, you know, 24 hours a day on the online deal, like the live feeds. Is that, are you like consciously aware of that at all times, or are you just so used to the cameras and shit, just knowing that there's cameras around, that You know what I mean? Like Survivor, it's like after a while, people are like, is it weird having all the cameras around? You're like, no, you get used to it. You just fucking do your thing. So what's the live part of it? Like, what's that like dealing with?
I feel like it just becomes second nature because you're not, there's no producer, there's no cameraman, there's nothing like that. You're just going about your day. I mean, you can hear them buzzing in your ear. You know when this one's on because it's following you, but you don't know there's three more behind the fucking wall staring at you too. So it becomes very normal and you just go about your day. You don't really feel like you're being filmed. But ultimately, you know it because fuck, you're stuck in a fucking house. You know, it's like you never forget that you're being, when people are like, oh, I just forgot I was being filmed. I'm like, get the fuck out of here, dude.
I think Enzo did whenever he was near a bathroom or a bidet.
He's so fucking funny, man. He's so funny. I like, my biggest fear was like him to get kicked out of the house early because I'd be so annoyed because he was just so entertaining. You know.
Now, do you still have pretty tight relationships with people from your cast?
Not Christmas.
Yeah,
sure.
I mean, I haven't talked to Christmas.
Yeah,
for sure, not Christmas. No, like Dan, we always stay in touch. He's a good friend of mine. But outside of that, Brian Hart, I don't know if you guys know Brian, but he was on my season and back booted the first day or first week or whatever.
That's insane.
Me and him are very good friends and business partners. We're actually business partners. So
it's awesome. Crazy.
Yeah. So, but outside of that, not really, man. Even from All Stars, it's like, I just talked to Cody. He was in town last weekend. Enzo every once in a while, Tyler every once in a while. You know, it's like going to fucking summer camp, you know, become friends and then, you know, people have their lives and shit. Yeah.
How far are you from Miami?
I'm 40 minutes. Maybe.
I'm in Miami next weekend. I'm doing the wrestling thing again. I got Paola from 90 Day Fiance and Hisela from, The Challenge All Stars is going to be there. Why don't you and Christmas stop by?
You doing a Father's Day wrestling match?
No, you. I would love a Father's Day wrestling match against you. Can I win? I never win.
Sure.
Shocking.
Whatever you want.
You would be whatever shocked to hear this, Memphis. Whatever. I never win.
What's up next for you, Memphis? Like, what do the fans of yours that are watching or listening to this have to look forward to in the rest of 2021 with Memphis? What do you got going on?
Look, we're opening, you know, a bunch of stuff. I'm opening a new restaurant in West Palm July 15th. I'm opening a new restaurant in Plantation at the end of August. And I have a cocktail bar I'm opening called No Man's Land. Very cool, like, fucking just, you know, back alley London meets New Orleans, just kind of vibe, super kind of voodoo-y type place. Opening in downtown Fort Lauderdale around August also. So, man, we're just working, man. I'm just over here doing my thing. So that's the focus right now. I'm going to continue to do mornings with Memphis and continue loving on my woman and fucking just living, man. So things are good. And, you know, I'm working on one little small reality thing. Not that small. And we'll see if it's sufficient or not. So you have to stay tuned to see.
Fuck yeah.
So I have a question,
but it's good.
I have a question that might not be on most people's radar. So when we were at Hearts Reality, we talked to Scotty Too Hottie about NXT. Have you and Christmas followed up with WWE?
We haven't, man. I think Christmas went down the rabbit hole for a little bit about maybe doing that. And I think for her, it was more of a scheduling thing. It's just impossible for her to, you know, she with kids, you know, I have a 6-year-old and she has a 2.5-year-old and it's really difficult, you know, so. I think that was a little conflict of interest of being able to really dive into that. Those wrestlers, man, their schedules are crazy. You know?
They are.
Yeah.
They live and breathe that shit constantly. So, and I think that was something that, like, it just didn't really make sense. But I think she'd be
bad. I was rooting for you because I need tickets. So I was just.
Yeah. Oh, God. That's funny.
Awesome. Memphis, Zach, Zach's been dying here.
I just want to say thanks again, Memphis. Obviously, I'm a fan. I'm converted. Yeah, you and Christmas, I'll bow down after I talk shit for like a season. You guys are the greatest. So, there it is. Thank you for coming on the show and talking to us. This has been a blast.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you so much, man. And we'll stay tuned and we'll catch up. We'll catch up when Big Brother starts in about a couple weeks. So
I can't wait. And maybe I'll see you next weekend in Miami. You never know.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
Fingers crossed.
Cheers. Thank you so much. Take it easy.
Breaking news. This important PSA is brought to you by Manscaped.com. This is your public service announcement and the news you've all been waiting for. The Manscaped engineering team has confirmed that they've successfully created the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, which is now available for purchase in the USA and Canada. This new trimmer was just released only moments ago, and we're one of the first to get our hands on it and share the news. Join over 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer just for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code SURVIVOR at manscaped.com.
I'm one of the first people to try the new 4.0, and I'm blown away by the performance. The craftsmanship and details on the 4.0 are next level. Their advanced ceramic blade and skin-safe technology is so good that it almost seems as if Manscaped worked with Elon Musk's engineers to ensure your testes are as safe as possible. Now, I've had my moments in the past where I tried to use the old disposable razor, tried to do some shaving. Oh my God, it looked like a 1980s NWA world title match. Ric Flair versus Dusty Rhodes wearing the Crimson Mask. Not anymore. No way, Jose. Oh my God, we're talking what makes this trimmer different than the other trimmers? It's a new multifunction on-off switch that can engage a travel lock created for people who like to travel like me. I'm in Miami once a month for wrestling. I got Paola from 90 Day Fiancé. She's not checking out my balls, but if she did, oh, I would be ready. Now, we also have the Lawnmower 4.0 giving you the ability to turn the 4000K LED spotlight on and off when needed for a more precise shave. And the new trimmer allows you to customize your trim all over through additional guard links with sizes 1 through 4. And looks wise, it's sleek with a two-tone matte and gloss finish. Even features a hot foil stamped black chrome Manscaped logo. Show that mower off loud and proud.
The optimized Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer is also waterproof, so you can groom in the shower and not have to worry about making a mess on your bathroom floor. Did I mention wireless charging? The Lawnmower 4.0's new wireless charging system uses electromagnetic induction, which can help battery length last longer. If you're still trimming your face with your ball trimmer, it's time to make some changes. So here you go. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code SURVIVOR at manscaped.com. No person wants to end up with pubes in their mouth, and your balls will thank you.
Get 20% off and free shipping with the promo code SURVIVOR. They love it when we do that at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. manscaped.com. Use that promo code SURVIVOR and unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped. Now that the holidays are over, it's all too common to set health goals that never actually stick. New Year's resolutions of the past, we're looking at you. And when it comes to eating better and consuming less sugar, let's be honest, most healthy snacks don't taste very good. They don't fill you up, and they certainly don't satisfy your cravings. This episode is sponsored by Monk Pack, who make snacks that taste like our favorite sugary treats, but with 1 gram of sugar or less.
Monk Pack Keto Granola Bars contain just 1 gram of sugar, 2 grams of net carbs, and they're only 140 calories.
They're great for anyone following a keto lifestyle, but also the perfect snack for anyone who is trying to eat better or cut back on sugar and carbs without sacrificing taste.
Yeah, I am a huge fan of these bars. I start my morning off with one every day. I mean, I'm watching shows like The Challenge, and I want to be a beast like CT. I need these Monk bars to start my day because they give me the energy and the power to push through some tough workouts, and I'm a huge fan.
I think CT could have used the Monk Pack keto granola bars. I mean, they have soft and chewy texture. They come in delicious flavors like coconut cocoa chip, maple pecan, and my favorite, peanut butter.
Ooh, they're so good, and they're perfect for a quick breakfast, a snack between Zoom calls, or a late-night treat that you don't have to feel guilty about. In addition to being keto-friendly, the bars are also gluten-free, grain-free, plant-based, and non-GMO, with no soy, trans fats, sugar, alcohols, or artificial colors.
Hey, they taste incredible, and you can't beat the low-sugar nutrition or taste that they provide. And by shopping online, you can avoid another trip to the grocery store by getting Monk Pack delivered right to your door.
Try it for yourself and you'll see. And we have a special deal for our listeners. Get 20% off your first purchase of any Monk Pack product by visiting monkpack.com and entering our code SURVIVOR at checkout.
Yeah, and Monk Pack is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll exchange the product or refund your money, whichever you prefer. So to get started, just go to monkpack.com. That's MUNKPACK.com and select any product and then use promo code SURVIVOR. They love it when we do that at checkout for 20% off your purchase.
Monk Pack, delicious, nutritious foods you can count on. And we thank them for sponsoring Reality NSFW.
Lucy Nicotine is a company founded by Caltech scientists and former smokers looking for a better and cleaner nicotine alternative. Finally, tobacco alternatives that don't suck.
Researched and developed for 3 years to be made by people, not patients, Lucy's created a nicotine gum with 4 milligrams of nicotine that comes in 3 flavors, wintergreen, cinnamon, and pomegranate. Lucy also has a lozenge with 4 milligrams of nicotine in cherry ice flavor. Each and every flavor actually does taste great, and it's convenient and discreet. Products can be enjoyed anywhere, on flights, at work, on the go, even in the gym. I'm so excited that Lucy is sponsoring us because one of my best friends in the world, he's trying to quit smoking. His girlfriend's been getting on him for years. He's a big menthol smoker, and the wintergreen flavor is a really nice substitute for him that he absolutely loves. So this is the thing that you need to check out if you've been trying to kick your tobacco habits.
I have a family member that's tried the pomegranate, and they say it's one of the greatest tasting gums they've ever had. We're not talking nicotine gum. We're talking any gum. So if you've been discouraged by other nicotine gums, try the pomegranate. And also for the lozenge, the cherry ice is allegedly the best. And you know what? I believe them. But as far as enjoying anywhere, I heard at the gym, you get a little extra bump from the lozenge and from the gum.
Boom. It's 2020. Get rid of your cigarettes, unplug your vape, throw out your dip, and get some Lucy nicotine gum or lozenges. This is the real deal, and a subscription to Lucy comes directly to your door each month. It's so simple, you don't even have to leave your house because Lucy has delivery down.
Reality NSFW listeners, go to lucy.co and use promo code SURVIVOR to get 20% off all products, including gum and lozenges. That's Lucy, LUCY.co. That's right, CO, and use promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. Also, I have to give this disclaimer. Warning, this product contains nicotine derived from tobacco, and nicotine is an addictive chemical. So that's lucy.co, and be sure to use that promo code SURVIVOR, and we thank them for sponsoring the Reality NSFW podcast. This episode of Reality NSFW is sponsored by Blue Chew. Say it with us, Blue Chew. Blue Chew is making waves and bringing more confidence to the bedroom by offering chewable tablets that can help men get stronger and longer lasting erections. That's right. We're giving away super hard dicks.
Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew's tablets help men achieve harder, stronger erections to combat all forms of ED.
Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor offices, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy.
and it ships right to your door in a discreet package. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. And the best part, it's all done online.
Blue Chew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. Don't like swallowing pills? No problem here. Blue Chew's Sildenafil and Tadalafil tablets are chewable. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA and they prepare and ship direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy.
Hey, if you're looking to give that immunity idol to someone or you don't want to be voted out of a crater, don't worry, Blue Chew's got you covered. So if you could benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information.
And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's Blue Chew, BlueChew.com, promo code SURVIVOR to receive your first month free. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast.